But we're talking about the shield of faith. So we're going to have a look at that first before the chaos. So I just want to start by telling you a bit of a story about faith, because we've all kind of, we're going to have a look at the definition of faith in a bit. But I want to tell you something that faith means to me via something my grandpa told me. He was a preacher. Sometimes I might tell some stories about him every now and again, and because he was somebody that I really looked up to in his lifetime. And I remember him telling me about how he became a Christian, and it was a brilliant story, because although he was a preacher and he ran a church, he didn't grow up as a Christian, but he was seeking God and thinking about life. And he said one day, as he was wrestling with the whole question of does God exist, he was sitting on a train, and in his mind he prayed out to God, and he said, God, if you exist, will you show me? Like, how can I believe in you? And I sat opposite him was somebody he didn't know, and they picked up their newspaper at that exact moment, and they unfolded the newspaper, and on the bit facing my grandpa was a double page spread with one large word over the front of it, and it said this word, faith. It said faith on it. And my grandpa took that as God speaking to him, that actually he was there, and he maybe doubted, maybe thinking, do you exist, God? And God says, actually, what you need to do is take a step of faith. You've got to believe in me. And that's the first step. So I can't hold on to that story. That's God's answer sometimes when we're struggling with doubts, maybe when things are going wrong in our life, and God says, faith. You just need some faith, and I'll get you through. So what is faith? I'm going to read you a well-known passage kind of which has the definition of faith, but I'm going to read it in three different versions so we can get a bit of a grasp of it this morning. So it says in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love that because it doesn't quite work with what your mind might think. Okay, so you want evidence, and God says, well, your faith is the evidence. So as you believe in God, that's evidence that he exists because we believe in him. A different version, in NIV says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. And then finally, in the Voice translation, it says, faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for. And then I like this bit, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. And I wonder this morning if we have the absolute conviction, if we have the faith and that has that confidence. I love the confidence of Freya this morning as she took communion, just that fire that she had. It says, come on, do you believe it or not? Do we have faith or not? So what does the shield protect us from? We've looked at some of the different armour, and the shield protects us, it says in the passage, from the fiery darts of the enemy. We heard it at the beginning when Eloise read the passage brilliantly. So it protects us from the fiery arrows of the enemy. And there's two things I kind of thought that protects us from. What are the fiery darts? What does the enemy throw at us? And the two things that I thought of that this passage is perhaps talking about is our doubts that we have, and also lies that he tells us. And I thought it'd be interesting just to have a little look back right to the beginning where the devil comes to Adam and Eve, because he doesn't change his tricks much, the devil, and we can actually learn a lot by looking right back at the beginning how he kind of fooled Adam and Eve into sin coming into the world in the first place. And it says in chapter 3, verse 1, now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any fruit in the garden? The woman said to the snake, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the snake said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, the devil's quite clever here, and he probably does some of the same things today. So the first thing that he says to Eve is, did God really say that? And that's sometimes some of the doubts that God throws at us. Maybe some of us, we kind of have that wrestle with, you know, does God exist? Maybe for some of us, the question is, does God really care about us? Maybe for some of us, that it's that question, did God really say that? We get into church and we hear this stuff and we feel this conviction like, oh, maybe I feel like God's telling me to do this, or I feel like, you know, God's saying that I've got a purpose and a calling. And then when we're on our own in the week and maybe doubts creep in and we go, you know, there's a voice, did God really say that? Was that just in your mind? Was it just the atmosphere of church because, you know, we had nice pianos and guitars playing and you just thought that, but actually, in the cold light of day, did God really say that? And that's when your faith is really tested, isn't it? When that happens and the devil comes, and that's when we have to get our shield of faith and start declaring, yes, that is what God said. Yes, that is truth. That is right. God really said that. And then the devil's clever as well in the way that he lies to us. And he says there, so the second thing he does is kind of twist the character of God. So he says, oh, you won't die. So God says, don't eat the tree, you'll die. God's given a rule to protect them. And then he goes, ah, no, that's not going to happen. And how many times do we kind of have that sort of lie thrown at us? Ah, you know, no one will know about it. If you do that thing, no one will know you're doing that. Or there won't really, nothing will happen as a result of that happening. You know, and the consequences are kind of played down a bit. But also the devil twists God's character there, and he tries to make him out like God has different motives to what he does. So God's motive, obviously we know now that the results of Adam and Eve's sin was pretty catastrophic on the human race. And actually, if they'd listened, that would have been good for all of us. But kind of the devil sort of twists it and says, no, God, actually, God doesn't want you to know what he knows. God knows if you eat that tree, you'll have knowledge of good and evil. And so that's why you're saying it. And how often do we have God's character twisted to us? Instead of seeing God as a loving father, we go, oh, God's just trying to spoil your fun. God doesn't want you to have that blessing. God just wants you to work hard, and he doesn't want you to enjoy those things. And so the devil still today, doesn't he, twists the character of God so that we see God in a different way. And we need to get up our shield of faith and stand on what the word of God says on who God is. Actually, that's not true. Actually, God loves us. God's for us. He's with us. And not listen to those lies. So that faith shield is what protects us when the enemy comes at us with the doubts and with the lies. And so we need to start to learn how to get our shield of faith up. So how can we use the shield? What things are going to help us to build our faith up? So the first thing that we can use our shield for is God's word. Or sorry, that can help us to use our shield better is God's word. So in Romans 10 and verse 17. I don't know if it's going to come on screen. I'll find it otherwise. It's there. It says, faith is increased when we hear God's word. Or in another version, it says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so our faith is increased. One way it's increased is by listening to this book. Now, I know I said when I preached on the breastplate of righteousness that a lot of the armor just actually overlaps. And one of the key things, I think, in everyone that spoke is we've talked about this book. Yeah. Actually, if we can get a handle on this book, and I don't want to take off what we're going to say when we get to the sword of the Spirit, but this is the foundation of a lot of this armor. When we can get into our hearts and our minds what this book says, our faith is increased. And if we sometimes play this game in youth where we do like two truths and a lie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a program on TV as well, which is a little bit similar, where they get celebrities to lie about something, and then people have to guess if they're lying or not. You ever seen that kind of thing? So they kind of make up a thing. We did it in youth, and Paul made up a brilliant life, Paul. I can't remember what it was about uni, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you got arrested. Getting arrested at uni. Now, how many of you would believe that? Yeah. We made it quite believable, yeah. Yeah. There was quite a lot of hands went up there. I can't remember what the other two lies were now, but then a lot of people, I think they all went for the wrong one on that one, didn't they? But the thing is, right, I knew it wasn't true, because I know Paul really well. You would hope so. We've been married for 13 years. 13, that makes me sound old. Okay, so I know him pretty well. I know most of his stories by now. If he says a story I haven't heard, that's like quite unusual, and vice versa. I said to him, oh, have I told the story about my grandpa before? I've heard it before. But yeah, we've all heard each other's stories. We know each other's background because we know each other. And we know each other so well. And it is the same with God, actually. When we get to know God, we know who he is. We know about him. We know the kind of personality. If someone says something that's a bit off or that it doesn't quite line up with what the Bible says or what we know of God, we recognise it immediately, don't we? Because we know, actually, no, that's not right. That's not who God is. But it's not just about knowing facts. It's about knowing him. When you really know somebody, you know if something about them is correct and is true or not. I heard this story once about somebody who was helped. They were employed to do something for fraudulent money. So they had this job of trying to find fraudulent money, and they were dead excited about it, and they thought they'd be like the FBI. And they got there on the first day, and they gave them £1 million and said, count this money. And that's what they had to do for the whole day. I don't know if they got to the end of counting it, because millions are a lot to count, but they had to sit there, and they were so bored by the end of the day. They're like, that was rubbish. Went back the next day, and they said the same thing, count it again. Oh, my word, got to count all this money again. That is, like, a day's work, isn't it? They got to the third day, and they had to count again the money. But this time, they'd slipped some forgeries in. And do you know what? The people recognised the forgeries straight away. Because all they'd done is sat there counting. They'd felt the real deal. They'd felt what a note feels like, the weight of it, the feel of it, that how it all looks. And even though they were just sat counting it, they had a real experience of what it felt like. And you know, it's the same again with the word of God, with the lies of the enemy. The more time we spend knowing the word, we will spot a lie that the devil throws at us straight away. We'll go, no, actually, that's not right. That's counterfeit. That's not the real deal. That's not what we're signed up for, because God's word is true and we know it because we read it and we know God and we know about who he is. So the first thing that can help us is to get into the word of God. Soak yourself in his words. Maybe sometimes it's for you listening to music as well. Listen to worship music while you're around the house. Maybe listen to some encouraging podcasts. Maybe stick Bible verses around. But make sure that you get the word of God into your heart and into your lives. The second thing that helps us with our shield of faith is simply this, it's remembering. Remembering. Do you know the devil wants us to forget what God has done in our lives? But when we remember him, our faith is boosted. I know when I sit in church and people share testimonies and we go, oh, what's God done for you this week? And maybe it's something we prayed for the week before, and then they come back and go, oh, God answered my prayer. My faith is boosted when that happens. When we celebrate what God's done, when we remember what he's done for us in our past, our faith is boosted. And in the Old Testament, if you've read some of the Old Testament, you can't go far without coming across some of the celebrations that they used to have. And God would command that they would have different feasts, and they had the Passover, and they had different things that they celebrated, and they were all to remember something that had happened. So they would have, like, when they got out of Egypt and the angel of death passed them by and they didn't die, and then we had the Passover, and they had to recreate what happened so they would remember. And they used to build altars, and God would say, build an altar so you can remember what I've done. Why? Was it so that God could go, yeah, look what I did there. I'm good, aren't I? Don't forget it. I don't think it was, actually. I think it's because we are very forgetful. And actually, when we are reminded, our faith is boosted. And when you look in the Bible, it's amazing how quick, the Israelites got out of Egypt, and then immediately they started complaining because they didn't have any food. Like, God's just parted the sea for you. Do you think he can't provide some food for you? Where's your faith? Because they'd forgotten already. But how true is that as us? Because the devil wants us to forget what God has done in our lives. And actually, when we take a step back and we look and we start to write down our testimonies and we go, remember when God did this? When we talk about it with each other, hey, God did this for me once. And you might have heard this story before, but let me tell you again about this time that God came through for me and God answered this prayer, because that boosts our faith. Our shield of faith is boosted when we remember what God has done. He's done it before and he can do it again. Third and final thing this morning is unity. Now, when we think of a shield, we had the shield this morning, sort of that big on your arm. That's what I think of when I think of a shield. But actually, the shield in those days, that they wouldn't have thought of those kind of shields. They would have probably thought of a Roman shield, because that's the sort of time and era and place that it was written in. So a Roman shield was a bit bigger than a normal shield. It was huge. In fact, I might have a picture of it. Have we got a picture? Or am I? Okay, we'll go to that then. Okay, so they're the shields. And what they used to do is they used to make something called the tortoise. So you can see, if you imagine a tortoise got a hard shell, they used to get in a group and make like a shell, I suppose, out of the shields. And I just want to read you what it says in the commentary. So it says, they were about 4 feet by 2 feet and a half, covered with linen and leather with edges that allowed them to interlock. Soldiers could interlock their shields and march into the enemy like a solid wall. When our faith interlocks with other believers, we become like that wall, don't we? Like that tortoise. It says on the screen there, I don't know if you can see the photo on dance, that it was so strong in training, a chariot could be driven over the top. Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So there is strength in our unity. When we join our faith with other believers, we stand a lot stronger. And I don't know about you, sometimes when I'm going through something, when there's been a bit of a battle, and maybe when the enemy's had a go, sometimes you can feel a bit deflated, you can feel like, oh, I don't have much faith. But actually, when you come into contact with other believers, and they go, come on, we can believe for that for you. Come on, we'll pray for you. Let's have some faith that God is going to come through for you in that situation. Then our faith is boosted, and we're stronger together. There's a reason that God put us in a church and we're not just kind of making our own way on our own. But actually, if we're designed for battle, then we're designed to do it together. Yeah. And these are the kind of shields that they will be looking at. So their faith interlocked. And just kind of taking this thought this morning, we're going to do something now, which this is going to be the chaotic bit, but it's going to be good as well, okay? So I wonder if, Jack, if you could run and get Josh, because he's helping us with this, isn't it? Isn't he? Okay, so we've got, this is a bit where I'm going to have a bit of audience participation, but we want to pray together, because we don't always do it as a sort of a massive group, but we want to interlock our faith this morning. And some of the young people have offered to help. So we've got some shields, and we're going to put one shield in each corner of the room, which a young person is going to hold. And if you could just grab them for me so we can see what they're going to look like. Okay, there's four different things written on these shields, and in each corner, the person holding a shield is going to have some stickers and going to have some pens. And what we're going to do is you guys can go and write a prayer request, okay, and pop it on the shield. So what have we got there? Can you hold it up? So we've got circumstances. Yeah, you want to bring the other ones, guys? Okay, one of them says salvation. Okay, so if you know people who don't know God yet and you want to pray, God, I want that person to get saved, I'm going to have faith for that this morning, you can go and write their name and stick it on the salvation one. Jack, if you want to stand in this corner, okay, so salvation's going to be in this corner. Okay, we've got Josh. Which one are you picking, Josh? Okay, Josh has got healing. Okay, if you are ill or you know somebody who's ill who needs physical healing, okay, you can go to, you want to be in this corner, Josh? Okay, Josh is going to be in this corner of healing. You can write it on the sticker, stick it on the shield, okay? Eloise has got one. Eloise, which one have you got? Provision. Okay, Eloise, if you want to kind of go just to the back near the door, okay, because that's a bit crammed in that corner there. Brilliant. Okay, so if you need provision, okay, if you need a job, if you need finances, if you need more time, I don't know what it might be, but some kind of provision, God is our provider, you can go right on the post-it note and stick it on there. Right, has everybody got pens and stickers? Can we make that happen? Okay. Brilliant. Okay, so what we're going to do in a moment, okay, you can... you don't have to jump up straight away, but if you want to just go, make your way to one of the things. If we can have some music maybe on in the background. I just want you to think, if any of those four things fall into a situation that you think this morning, yeah, I want to have faith for, we're going to stick them on. And then at the end, the young person holding the shield is going to pray over all those things that are on the shield, okay? So we're all going to join together in faith with that young person and say amen. So nobody's going to read out everything on the shield. We're just going to say a prayer for everything, okay? So we're going to pop some music on now. And if you just make your way to whichever corner, jot it down on the sticker, put it on the shield, and then in 10 minutes or so, we're going to come and we're going to pray for those things. Okay, give me a nod, church, if you're with me. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, let's go for it.